I wish to bring Christian greetings to each one here this morning. You can say it's a privilege to gather with the saints to worship God. Trust that as we gather that our faith is increased in God, that our love for Him may be a continual growing love. To bring greetings to you from the Calvary Congregation in Wisconsin. If you do travel east of Minneapolis into Wisconsin on 94, we're only about 11 miles off of the given track, so you're free to stop in and visit us in the Boyceville area. We started a new outreach just a year ago from the Shiloh congregation. And so it does feel a little lonely. The Shiloh congregation looked a little more like this before we left. There's about 250, I believe, in our attendance at that time, but since then we have started another group. To want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Appreciate the thoughts that are being shared in relation to our boldness. We have Paul here writing to the church at Ephesus. I'd like to read the first 16 verses in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us with all, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that he should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after he believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints. And then he goes on with his prayer for the church at Ephesus. My message this morning is my burden this morning as we want to share with you, and that is in relation to the church. I've entitled my message, My Church and Me. Almost sounds selfish in a sense. We talk about me and mine and so on. But as we think of this, I trust it's not a matter of selfishness, but we're looking at it more as a matter of commitment and a matter of being a part of, and not only we're not only just looking at the church this morning as something that exists. We know there's a church. The church has gathered this morning. I think sometimes we, and I know I do it myself, we talk about the church house. Reading in one of the older books I have at home, and they referred to it as a meeting place. And the church gathers, and the church during the week spreads apart and works, but it's still the church. This morning we want to think of the church, and when we look at the first chapter here in Ephesians, it talks about the work of God. Paul is addressing the church at Ephesus here. The first number of verses had to do with God the Father and his blessing. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings. And then he talks about the work of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And then going to verse 13, we have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, in whom ye have also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I see a beautiful picture here. We see the work of the Father in blessing. We see the work of Jesus Christ in redemption. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in his talks about being the earnest of our inheritance. It says we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I believe Paul is here giving a foundation for the church. I believe it is the connection that we have that really it makes the church. And it goes on then in chapter 2, and you. And that is a connection we like to look at this morning, and we think of the church. I understand you have a number of people that have moved in, maybe more recently, and this is not a problem, and not, I'm not finding this, but a problem at all. But what I want to somehow impress upon our minds this morning, and that is the connection of the you to the Father, to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This is the foundation of the church. This is what makes the church real. This is what makes the church precious. Often we think of the church as people. It is. It's not just me, but it is made up of people. But beyond that, it is made up of people that have given their hearts and lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who have become sons and daughters of God and are being directed by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that my relation to the church is a very weighty matter. I believe to be a member of the church is an important part of life. I need the church. I sense a need of brothers and sisters in the Lord to help me and to help give direction in life. It's something that is important to me. I recognize the church is God's church. The church is a living organism. But it's made up of people, you and I. The church was not only owned by Jesus Christ, it was purchased by his blood. And what we need to understand as we think of the church, we have God the Father, and we are his children, and God has a will for your church here. Sometimes we discuss things and it's right, and it's not. I'm certainly not giving this as an accusation. But I think sometimes it is easy to think of the people and somehow bypass the fact that there is a foundation here that the church works from, and this foundation is the will of God. And we need to be sensitive to that fact that God has a will for my church, and for every member of the church that is here this morning, God has a will for you. There's a connection. There's a relationship that is intimate. And that awareness of God, that awareness of the structure that God has given to the church, I believe is a very important part of finding our way with God and with the church. In 1 Timothy, he's writing to the church here, to Timothy, he says, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the pillar and the ground of truth." In other words, he's not only concerned about understanding that relationship, but it is to understand how we conduct ourselves and how we deal with trying situations, how we relate to each other, how we relate to the world that is about us. I believe my understanding and my commitment to that foundation lays the groundwork for boldness. It lays the groundwork for our expression, our life that we live. I believe that truth, the church is a pillar and the ground of truth, and truth is to be lived. It is to understand my responsibility that God has given to me in this world in relation to the church. We're not a part of the church just for a ride. The church isn't like stopping at a convenience store and we just have a snack and go on. But I believe the church is a very intimate part of the child of God's life. Jesus took pains to connect himself with the church. Jesus said that I will build my church. He was connecting. He is an intimate part of the church. And I believe as individuals, whether we are young people or whether we are grandmas and grandpas or whether we are parents or whoever we are this morning, that we ought to take pains. We ought to make it something that is very real to us to be connected, to be a part, to build, to be what God has called me to be. I'm not just a member of the church, I'm glad to be a member and I'm glad what they do for me, but if you are a member of the church, you are an intricate part. There's something you can do to make your church a better church. A church that is a blessing to others, and a church that brings glory to God. One of the songs we sang this morning, the heading of the song was verse in Galatians chapter 6, 14, where Paul says, "For God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." There is a glorying here that sets a course. There is a glorying here that divides us from the world and into the kingdom of heaven. And it makes a difference of whether the world is what we cater after or whether we're here to build the church. Want to think of discipline in the church. Understand that the word discipline is derived from the same word as disciple. And a disciple is one that gives his love and allegiance to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I believe that discipline is a practice that aims to strengthen and to perfect that love and that allegiance to Jesus Christ. I believe it is an important part. And I think often when we think of discipline, we think of what maybe the leadership does to somebody to maybe to correct them and so on, and those kind of things. And I would like to look at discipline as, while it does include that sometimes, I believe that discipline is, in the church, is something that is much closer home to every person than what the leadership does to. While the leadership is important, I don't want to take away from that. But I want to look at discipline in the church, first of all, this morning, as preventative discipline. In other words, it's the way we live and it's the way we relate to each other to prevent problems rather than correcting them. It's what I do that helps strengthen the church, which helps strengthen the will of God, helps give direction. And while I believe that the preaching of the word is important, I believe it's something that we cannot take and don't want to diminish from the church, I believe that the response of every member that is in the church ought to contribute to that discipline, a preventative discipline. I believe much of that is often when we're willing to commit ourselves, and a lot of it comes through what we say and what we don't say sometimes. It should come through our visiting after church. It should come through our work, working together with each other. That what I say and what I don't say and what I do should be that which would strengthen the church, that would give people the courage and, you might say, the grace to do what is right. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Now, we think that grace is something that God gives us, and God does give us grace. But here it tells us that our speech should be such that would give grace. In other words, it's something that strengthens, something that encourages. And I can honestly say, I remember in my youth, my father wasn't a member of the church. I went with my older brother to a conference church. But one of the things I do remember is some people sometimes coming and talking to me after church. And I'm sure what they told me, they probably didn't remember 5 minutes later what they said, but it was something that gave encouragement to me. It was something that helped me in my Christian life. That in a time of temptation, there was a strength I had that I would not have had if it wouldn't have been for those encouraging words. I believe that every member needs that connection with the Father. What we say should be that which encourages, which gives strength, rather than taking away and destroying, rather than being concerned about the self-image, it is concerned about the whole. And that's one of the things we notice as we read the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have numerous characters like Daniel and Joseph and so on. And it is true, we have the apostles in the New Testament, but we see the focus on the church. The focus is for the edification, for the building of the church. That the church may be what God intended it to be. And the church, I believe here, is the individuals, the you and the me. To be what God has called me to be. And as we look through Ephesians, we see there is rich blessings in the church. In the first chapter plus the second chapter, it talks about the riches in grace. In verse 7, it talks about the redemption It talks about the riches of the glory and the inheritance of the saints in verse 18. Verse 7 of chapter 2, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And I believe the source of this work is through members in the church that have made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. I realize that when we come to the place where we respond to the call of God and we commit our hearts and lives to God, there's a sense of immaturity, and yet let's never confuse immaturity with carnality. I believe an immature person is one that loves God and wants to do what's right, and there's maybe some weaknesses there, but carnality is when we want to please ourselves. It's when the desire isn't there necessarily to give of ourselves, to build and to make the church what God has intended to be, to make the church so that it's a blessing for every member that is there, that those that want to be a part of the church can share that blessing. I can say from my personal experience that the church has been a tremendous blessing to me in my life, and I believe it's God's intention that it's that to everyone, and that we find the church to be that blessing. I believe every member is important and no member is all important, but every member is important. But it's God's church. But with that, let's remember that what we want to give to the church is not of myself. It's that which God gives to me. Sometimes people are very opinionated and we want to give that part of myself. But I believe what is important, and that is that the grace of God is expressed. There's forgiveness, there's love, there's commitment where we go out of our way to help each other. I know there's different roles, there's different responsibilities in the church. You have people here that have been called to leadership, there's ministers, deacon, there's bishop, there's different responsibilities in the church that need to be exercised. But one of the greatest blessing I've told the people at home, and it's my honest feeling, that to be a bishop is a responsibility, and I want to be faithful in that. But to be a brother in the church is a blessing that I value very highly. That I can be a brother in the church, that I can belong. And I think it's important that we recognize these areas of responsibility, that you respect those that are here to lead out, you pray for them. I don't think you have a leader here that has asked for the job. It is a tremendous responsibility. It's not always easy. And I would say encourage and remember those that God has placed. And let's take the responsibility that is given to us seriously. Whether it's being a Sunday school teacher, whether maybe you don't have that kind of responsibility at all at this time, and you are, you might say, in the audience. Your prayers are very weighty. Your response to the rest of the brotherhood is a very weighty responsibility. Don't ever think that while you are a member of the church, that you don't have a responsibility. Every member is important. It won't turn to Corinthians 12, but talks about the members of the body. And there it refers to the eyes, to the hands, to the feet, and the different responsibilities. I think it's important that we take the responsibility that we have and we respect the responsibility that others have. But there is a part of the body that has impressed me, I guess, when in our, it's so small we can't see it, but in our blood there are cells. And in our body there are cells. And these cells that God has placed there are to keep the body working properly. For example, probably most of us had cuts in our hands and so on. And you cut your hand and these cells work together to heal that cut. If my hands had all the cuts they've had in their life, it'd look pretty terrible. But they've all healed because those cells... And they do that by giving of themselves. The cells divide, and then, but there's a law of the body that they work with. And when this, for example, is healed, you may see a scar, but it's over with, and the cells go back to their normal work. But there is a disease that when these cells don't follow the law of the body, that all of us have heard about, that disease is called cancer. Cancer is simply when cells do not follow the law of the body. They become, I guess in my own terms, individualistic. They're going to do what they want to do regardless of what is good for the body. And when a body has cancer, he has one of two things that will happen. Either somehow he will have to get rid of the cancer, or the cancer will get rid of him. And I believe that is also true in the church. That when we work as an individual just to please ourselves, either we're going to kill the church, or the church needs to relate to us and take care of us. I believe that foundation that God has given to us to build the church comes through the will of God. It's a response of humility. It's when we understand the goodness of God, humility is sometimes a difficult virtue to understand. And we know that pride is an exaltation of ourself, and often we think of humility as a debasing of ourselves or belittling of ourselves. And I do not believe that that is what humility is. I do not believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for nothings. I believe he came to die for you and me because he loved us. I really believe to understand, I'm not sure how to explain it better than just simply to say that pride is an exaltation of self and humility is an exaltation of God. It's when we forget about self and are willing to do what God has called us to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, when we go from the doctrinal teaching of the church to the practical outworking of building the church, he says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's only one body, but the thought is there that there's a humility, he calls it here a lowliness. In other words, it's not an exaltation of self, but it's an exaltation of God. We sang the song this morning, Glory, Glory to God. And I believe that is the first of all, the basic work of the church is to bring glory to God. I believe there's many other missions the church has been called to, but there is nothing in the church that excels, I believe, that need of bringing glory to God. Our mission should bring glory to God. Our prayer should bring glory to God. And our singing should bring glory to God. I believe that is a commitment that we all should have. And that is that my life, my commitment to each other is going to bring glory to God. It is also true that we are sometimes satisfied with too little. I think we have about as little as what we're satisfied with. God gives liberally. In Ephesians 2, it talks about that in ages to come, and that doesn't mean just when we accept Christ as our Savior, but I believe that's our church life here, and it goes on into eternity and into glory, but that in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Are we experiencing the blessings of God? Are we allowing Him to have His way? Are we willing to, in my church life, to just satisfied with little? God gives liberally, but He's not going to give more to you than what you want. If you're satisfied to live in defeat, you will never know the peace of living in victory. If you're satisfied to follow far off and not really be connected, you'll never know the blessedness of nearness. If you're satisfied with a joyless and a barren life, you will never know the blessedness of fruitfulness and the joy of the Holy Spirit living. I do believe that too many Christians, professing Christians, are satisfied with less than what God really wants for us. I believe that my responsibility is to be what God, to understand that God has a will for the church, He has a will for me. And it is my responsibility to fill that place that God has called me to. I believe when we give ourselves to baptism, we're giving ourselves the identity, first of all, to Jesus Christ. If we went back in the 1500s, baptism identified with Christ could have also meant death. But there is an identity I have. Can people see that I have been with Jesus? Does my life give evidence of the work of Christ because of my responses to, you might say, circumstances, my responses to maybe difficult situations that come to my life? Can they see Jesus Christ? Is my life an answer of a good conscience toward God? Again, in concluding, I'd just simply like to come back to the question that I ask, or the challenge that I gave both to myself and to all of you that are here, that are members of the church, and that is that God has a will for you. God has a purpose. You are not a nothing, but you are a child of God if you have allowed Him to be Lord of your life. You have a purpose. Am I fulfilling that purpose and that blessing that God has called me to? Am I fulfilling that role? Is the church being blessed because of my being there? Not because of my being there, but because of Christ working through my life. Let's kneel to prayer.